Welcome to the show, everybody. What a night for a radio show. Perfect timing. Glad you could join us. This is Christopher Moores, and you are listening to the Creative Cosmos radio show on the fastest-growing radio network around, BBS Radio. And if you've been tuning in, you've been hearing all the new music in the rotation. And I'm really enjoying it myself. Great influx of artists who are out there on the cutting edge that you won't hear on the old-fashioned radio methods. So tune in to bbsradio.com now 24/7. And going with that great music theme, tonight I'm going to be interviewing one of my favorite musicians, Jason Foss, and giving you all a chance to hear some of his imaginative, intricate, and poetic musings. As we talked about what we wanted to call the show, we decided to call it The Road Unknown. And as many of you know, I've been a musician my whole life, and I've gotten to know musicians all over the place, and I've made many friends. And back in the old days in the Twin Cities, after I first moved here, Jason and I used to play brass gigs around town, and we developed our songwriting together. I would write a few tunes, he'd write a few tunes, we'd play them back and forth. We have a few tunes we wrote together. And some of his tunes have been heard on BBS Radio. We've worked some into the rotation, and if you haven't gotten a chance to hear them yet, you will tonight. We're going to play a whole bunch of them, and I'm really looking forward to that. Again, we're going to be interviewing folk singer Jason Foss. And if you want to get a little head start on checking him out, you can go to his site at myspace.com/JasonFoss, F-A-A-S. And I'll give that out again a little bit later in the show. And as always, it's very convenient to jump over to the creativecosmos.org site if you're listening to the show, and you can follow along. I always put all the links I'm talking about on the front page of any given show. So again, that's creativecosmos.org. This week we're featuring a couple nice things. There's some great new visual art in the art gallery by Chad Lawson from Philadelphia. He sent me three pieces this week. And yeah, I can encourage you to go and check them out in the art gallery. They're very nice, very visionary, insightful, and you can really get a nice vibe from looking at them. So check them out in the art gallery on creativecosmos.org. And the Planetary Forum has been particularly busy this week. I'm glad to see that. A lot of people dropping by and commenting on this and that, or posting an article or saying hello. So I'd love for you to do the same. Jump on into the Planetary Forum. You can get there off the front of the site. Again, creativecosmos.org. And in the last week or two here, I've been talking to a whole bunch of people about being on a show. I've got some really good new guests coming up. I'll tell you a couple of them right now. May 12th, 2006, I'm going to have another musician, Charlie Bomarito, join us on the show. He sent me some CDs. I really enjoyed them. So we've been corresponding a little bit. I sent him a little bit of my music, and we're going to continue developing the creative process on air May 12th. And I'm also excited to announce that I'm going to have Anita Eubank on June 2nd, 2006. Sounds like a really wonderful person, and her book, The Rainbow of Hope, is what we'll be talking about. And you can click on her name on the website and get a little advance notice of what that show will be all about. And on June 9th, 2006, we'll have another author, Jerry Smith, on, and we'll talk about the Spear of Destiny and some secret societies of Europe, and some that trace back really far through history, and all kinds of conspiratorial topics. We'll go where the moment wants us to go. So I look forward to those interviews coming up. And we have just a little bit of unfinished business from last week's show. You know, you have a very adorable logo character up in the top right-hand corner of bbsradio.com. And he is coming alive. He's going to be going through the ascension with all of us. And the first step in his first finding himself and then transcending himself was to find a name. And he has a name now. And I was being a bit cryptic in my ways of describing how to find it. I didn't give very many good clues last week, so I'm going to make it a little more obvious this week, because whoever can call into the show and tell me, we're only going to do this for the first 40 minutes tonight. And if no one catches it in the first 40 minutes, contest is over and we'll try another one again sometime. But the contest is to just call me up, tell me what the name of our BBS logo character is, and you will get a BBS Radio polo shirt. And we have a new number to call. Check it out. Here it is. 877-876-5227. Maybe a new tune. I don't know. I like those numbers. 877-876-5227. Oh, let's just do it one more time since it's new. A little different meter. A little different rhythm. And a whole lot of fun. 877-876-5227. And I believe we still have the dial direct number. If you'd like to do that, 530-876-3222. And I'd like to begin my own little portion of the show today with a meditation. And sometimes a meditation isn't just sitting there doing nothing. That's a really good one. It's a classic. There are many other ones that you can do. All kinds of techniques that you can develop to become more aware. And some are just a way of looking at things. An attitude towards life. And one thing that everybody embarking upon the path begins to realize is the value of slowing down. We're so trained by the modern world and sound bites and flashes and bombardment of imagery to move super quickly and feel as if we must do that all the time, and in our own mind considering as getting things done and doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that and doing this and that. But one must not forget to take time for the one who's doing these things to rest, to pause, to remember yourself. Because, you know, also, you can do many things with a much quieter mind and a much slower inner pace. It's all about becoming aware and remembering yourself, bringing yourself back into the moment. See, the danger of always doing this, always doing that, always doing this, always doing that, is that becomes a cycle, and it takes over habitually, and it's hard to break out of or jump out of. And some of you out there may even have trouble sleeping because all day it's go, 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 gotta take care of this, gotta take care of that, gotta take care of this, and you lay down to sleep and your mind's still running 100 miles a minute. Well, that's what you train it to do all day long. There's no way to get the sleep to mellow out until you get your daily life to calm down. And one of the ways to start cultivating this is to somehow, I call them wedges, where you plant something in your mind that helps you remember yourself. Like, so rather than getting so worked up that you break down, when you start noticing yourself getting worked up, just say, I see what's happening. And that's the magic disconnect. That's when you begin to develop your own mastery over the situation. Then you are once again in control of your life and your mental state, and the habit is not, or the outside world is not. Because you see, you have a right to live your life on terms that you're comfortable with. And everybody operates at a different pace, at a different frequency. And you simply need to find what yours is. And, you know, also if you're on that, you could be on the other end, too lethargic, not getting anything done, and maybe inside of yourself you'll feel a little down about that too, because you're also not expressing and doing what you're meant to do. So you see, you got to find this balance, this middle balance, the middle way. Again and again, it all comes down to the middle way. Buddha knew a little something back in those old days, and Buddha here, in a way. So we take the time to allow ourselves to be unoccupied and to allow all of our energies to come back to ourselves and to pool back up, to rejuvenate, to be well in advance, you see, because this is another way that people break down and get sick, because they get cruising on these super fast, pay other people's expectations that they've internalized, and they feel like they got to push themselves past what they're really meant to be doing. And eventually they use up all their energy, and it makes them susceptible to catching a bug or a virus of some sort. And they'll break down. The body will have to rest. The mind will have to rest. So you see, if we cultivate this balance ahead of time, you will be much less likely to fall ill. Because this is part of how we maintain on a day-to-day basis. And there's a real value in being unoccupied. And it's a different kind of value. I mean, there's manifesting things and achievement, and then there's remembering the gift of your life, appreciating your connection to the source, and just being there, aware that you're here, and just feeling the shimmering gift moment to moment. It's truly a miracle to be alive. It's a fantastic wonder. You who are listening, you are amazing. And when we are able to get this kind of space and quietness inside of ourselves, when we go to everything else that we value, all those things we used to do, we'll be bringing a new quality to it, and we'll be able to do it better, more easily, more enjoyably. And if it isn't the right thing, if what we have been doing isn't the right thing, we'll be able to recognize what it is we should be doing and move in that direction. And then we can begin to take the attitude towards life that it's an adventure. We call the show The Road Unknown. And this is another way to approach the unknown, rather than fretting over not having control, rather than internalizing fear and spreading it. You approach it as an adventure. You approach every day of your life as an adventure, as an epic drama. And you enjoy the thrill of the new as it comes into your life. And you eventually realize that the unknown has mysteries of its own, has ways of nourishing you that you can't get anywhere else. And when you take this bold and heroic approach to life, you realize that you can learn from every experience. And maybe something that would have got you down in the past, you realize it's just a part of a bigger picture. You'll follow it through. You'll look at it in a good way and see that it might have been the end of one thing, but the birth of something new. So rather than judging what happens, we embrace what happens. And we recognize that we have a completely unique perspective. Our life is our own, and nobody else shares what we are going through. So this slowing down helps us quiet all the noise and be no longer occupied by the clutter of mundane affairs. And we remember ourselves, remember our greater destiny, and feel the energy that flows through us moment to moment. And then refreshed, everything in our life will feel the blessing. Which leads in perfectly to the first song of the night, which all night long I'm going to be playing the music of Jason Foss, folk singer and amazing voice of the Generation X. Great guy. He's going to have a lot to share with us this evening, so I really recommend you stay tuned. Here's the first song by Jason Foss called Oh What a Day.
One, two, three, four. Well, the leaves are falling and the birds are calling. The whole world seems to say, go out and play. And the children are playing and the trees are swaying. I sit still and smile, what a beautiful day. I say, what a day to be alive. I say, hey, what a day to realize that it's still a beautiful world. Oh, what a day.
you're back with me, Christopher Morris, and the Creative Cosmos Radio Show. Hope you enjoyed the first tune by Jason Foss, and we are looking forward to having him on in just a little while longer. And if you'd like to call in, you know we had a contest going. I'm only going to say a little bit more about it. I need the name of the BBS logo guy. You tell me the name, you get a shirt. This goes on for another 15 minutes. All you got to call in, do is call in to our new number, 877-876-5227. Now available worldwide for toll-free. Call me up. Tell me what his name is. Oh, I don't think I ever gave you a better clue, okay? It's near and low. How's that? Not. So once you come visit our site, it's pretty near and pretty low. And that's really all I can give you. Call me up. Let me know. All right. And going on with some of the train of thought we were talking about earlier. Another attitude that's really helpful to cultivate is one of general kindness and friendship towards yourself. And when you love yourself, you radiate this love to others. And until you truly find this state within where you love yourself, you'll be radiating all the other things as well. You see, whatever state of mind we're in, if you're in the presence of someone who can read energy, read auras, it's all spelled right out. It's all clear, right, in the way people carry themselves, in their facial expressions, in their body language, and just the way they move, whether it's graceful or herky-jerky. And a lot of the things people carry around with them is a result somehow of a judgment they've made towards themselves. And one of the first things I was surprised to realize early on in the process of rooting out my mental habits and emotional hurts was that I had this too. I got what was really down on myself about various things at one point in my life. And the thing I had going for me was that once I had become aware and awakened to the greater course of my life, I stuck with it. So when I realized I had these feelings about myself that weren't so good, I faced them, I took them on, I looked into them, I got to the bottom of them, and saw where they were coming from, saw how they were influencing me, saw how every single thing I did was somehow affected by the energy that I had not yet released that had become frozen from the past. And some of this was passed through in anger and tears and frustration, but the key is to keep moving, to keep passing it through. See, because sometimes people will not want to express that kind of what they judge to be a negative emotion, but then they never really fully express it. They never get it over with. So there's always a part of themselves that feels like it never got to express what it wanted to express. So we got to express these things and pull them out and realize that it isn't that you feel bad about yourself or you're getting down on yourself. It has to do with a confused idea of who you think you are. Because the way these things get to us is we feel that they're a part of us. We become so used to some of these pains and imprints that we think that it is an inescapable part of who we are, and we live it as if that's who we are, and then every moment, every decision, somehow that's influencing. So, but once we get in there, find it out, flush it out, and free that energy up, and then your movements, even your movements, your gestures change. even your walk might go from a thunk, 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 thunkity, thunk, 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 to all of a sudden now people can hardly even hear you coming because you're more at peace. And this is a huge part of the process, to truly be free and in tune with your soul and connected to Source. And it's very helpful if you have somebody to consult with. And this is one reason I'm making myself available on this radio show. I'm sharing my expressions and what I've learned on the path, not just in this life, but in many lifetimes. And I'm here to help as well. Those of you who are entering into the process, or maybe you're getting stuck on one thing or another, there are many tricks and pitfalls along the way. And the path goes on and on and on and on. We don't want to allow ourselves to get too caught up with some of the sparkly things that we see by the side of the road. There are many wondrous things we will encounter. But we must never lose sight that the journey is about us and about where we're going and about what our heart tells us to do. Because if it's true in the universe, it will feel good to you. This is how you can find harmony and tune yourself in, that you must see and be honest with yourself and face anything that doesn't feel good and take steps to make a change. And change is good. Change might hurt at first, but it will provide the ground for new flowers to grow. And things that become overdue for change, they stagnate, they build up, and they just sit there rotting. And you get more and more frustrated by them. Once you make the initial effort to clear out what you found in your psyche, then you have to keep up on it. And you'll get closer and closer to catching it in the moment. You see, as you get more and more used to how it works, you know, maybe sometimes you'll start to react, but then you'll catch it. Or maybe first you'll react and act out one of the old habits, but then you'll see it and you'll see, oh man, I can't believe what just happened. And then the next time it comes around, you'll see it come up in your mind, you'll feel the force well up within you, and you can even feel yourself become flooded with endorphins or some kind of chemical in your body that changes your whole state of mind. And if you were to see your aura, it would change shades in that moment. But if we are aware and watchful, when these things come up, we can see them and allow them to pass through and not believe in them or associate with them or own them, you know, because everything that we... Another really helpful thing I learned on the way was that everything that we are suffering from, we are in some way holding there ourselves. The outside world, though it seems that it causes things, truly how we react or how we act or how we move through this maze of phenomenon, it's completely up to us. And the true tale of life on Earth is how we experienced it inside. What did it mean to us? What did we learn? How did we evolve? What parts of our being did we express that we had never expressed before? Have we gotten farther in our becoming? And, you know, even all the words like higher, farther, whatever. It's just a way to convey, because really it's change. It's just change, change, change. And another thing I'd like to remind you of and talk about is to suggest that you allow yourself some luxuries. You know, don't just be kind to yourself in attitude. You know, cultivate little pleasures in your life that will just make things a little better. Make things better, you know, ways. And we all have tendencies. You know, there are those things which have been conditioned in us that we must clear out, but there are also some things that come up within us that are just aspects of our human manifestation. We're going to have tendencies, maybe some quirks, some things we might enjoy doing, some things we might not. We should certainly dive into life and try anything that, well, not anything, but, you know, try many things and just enjoy. See, that's really the essential message here, is to enjoy. And see, if we can totally enjoy, yet still remain non-attached to it. In other words, indulge a little, but also know that all things will pass. You see, because if we want to do something, if some part of us wants to do something and we hold it back by will, there very well might be a small part that always longs to do that, and you can never quite get it settled. But let's say you wanted to eat a great big ice cream sundae. Hey, have at it. Enjoy. You know, some people even feel bad about that, or get down on themselves, or feel guilty, like they shouldn't have had that kind of a pleasure. But there's no way that life or God would want us to avoid all pleasures of the garden. You know, we can eat the fruit of the apple, but we just have to know that, you know, that we can't take the apple with us, that we're just passing through. And again, this will create abundance in your life in many ways, because when you like to enjoy things, you will share that enjoyment. You will give much more if you feel happy and content and comfortable, and then you start creating that atmosphere and that environment for others. When they come near you, it feels as if they are coming towards an oasis, and for a moment they can relax, they can let their guard down, they can totally kick back and just let their mind wander and ask the questions that we all have deep inside about the universe and what we're here for, and express some of the feelings that they have inside. So it's, again, just a way of approaching life, a mindset, an attitude. You know, you can enjoy the subtleties. You know, go out and have a fine meal and spend a lot of money on a delicacy. Don't ever worry about that. Enjoy. Enjoy your life. You know, you can share, and you will share. This is, you see, if you, some people have much means, and they don't give themselves anything, and then that will also make them less likely to give others. But then if they give themselves what they need, it will just spill over all around. And this is a key to the teachings of Osho. I bring up Osho every once in a while as a big influence on my pathway. And one of the ideas of his that appealed to me immediately was that he was life-affirming. He was, you know, he was for life. And to have things flowing naturally, and that we're here to enjoy being here, enjoying ourselves and enjoying each other, and learning and sharing. And of course, things will happen along the way, but we can make them so much worse by having a judgmental attitude about them. Or, you know, a small thing occurs, we make a mistake and get down on ourselves, and then stay down on ourselves for a month. Well, that's a lot more harmful than whatever the small item was in the first place. And this is how we let things get out of hand. So, yeah, don't feel bad about enjoying things or taking a day off or just going out to the park and walking around with your lover, enjoying the day, enjoying the sunshine. You know, don't think about it as not getting anything done. Think about it as maintaining your own wellness and joy and vitality, which will then contribute to everything else you do. All right, thank you for that. Thank you for allowing me to go into some of the meditative angles I so enjoy exploring, and I'm glad that you're listening and exploring them with me. And now we're going to move into the next portion of the show. I'm going to play another song by Jason Foss, and when we come back, he will be here. And here's the tune called Here I Am.
All right.
right, we're back on the Creative Cosmos Radio Show. And we are here with my special guest, folk singer Jason Foss. Let me tell you a little bit about him here. Jason Foss has a unique style that was forged in tradition and expanded with an influx of wisdom from many sources. A student, a teacher, a listener, and a reader, everything that he experiences could find its way into some crafty corner of a song. As a storyteller, he emerges from his generation with a truly individual voice that expresses an irreplaceable perspective. A myriad of guitar subtleties at just the right touch to set free his witty melodic lines. From spirit to politics, relationships to humor, he traverses a tapestry of timbres in his tall tales from the land of time. The Creative Cosmos has no better friend than Jason Foss. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Chris, and thanks for that kind introduction.
My pleasure.
Arresting alliteration there at the end.
Yeah, I like to slip one of those in every once in a while. So how's life in Nebraska this evening?
It's cold and rainy outside, but other than that, everything's doing all right.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Play any good gigs lately?
All I've been doing lately is going down to the open mics around town and playing those as much as I can.
Yeah, you playing mostly your own tunes, or are you mixing them in with some other ones?
It depends on the night. Sometimes I do all originals, and sometimes I feel like pulling out some of the covers that I know.
Oh, that's cool. So that's in Lincoln, Nebraska?
That's correct.
How's the scene out there? How's the music life out in that town?
Well, it depends. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of folk music happening, except at some of the open stages, but the people who do the rock and roll stuff do pretty well.
Oh, that's cool. A lot of music to check out, other people out there trying to keep her alive.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of talent around, which I think is true about everywhere you go. But last night I played down at a coffee shop, and then a couple 14-year-old girls got on after me and blew me away.
Oh, yeah? What kind of act were they doing?
I think the best comparison would be maybe to an Indigo Girls type of thing, where they're both playing guitar and singing.
Well, that's cool. Hey, didn't you say you played at Earth Day a couple days ago?
Oh, yeah, I did that a week ago today, so I was lying about not doing any gigs.
Yeah, I saw, checking out your site, I'll say it again now while we're getting rolling here, myspace.com, myspace.com/ Jason Foss, F-A-A-S, Jason Foss. And you got some tunes on there. And I really like the picture that they took of you during Earth Day.
Oh, yeah. I was pretty happy with that picture.
Yeah, that picture is, I was thinking of it today. It's an example of the lion's roar, as they say in Zen. Someone totally in their element, doing their thing, happy, loving life. It's an awesome picture. So if you're listening out there, you can check it out. I put it on my site, too, creativecosmos.org, and you can get a look at who we're listening to tonight, Jason Foss.
Mm-hmm.
So you originally went out there to Nebraska for school, right?
That's correct, yeah. I enrolled at the University of Nebraska to work on a doctorate in music as a trombonist, which I've almost completed.
Yeah, that's cool. How close are you to being done?
A few hundred pages.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Actually, it's not even that much. The dissertation isn't really a full-blown dissertation, so it's probably only about 100 pages of writing, but a lot more research, and I'll get it done here pretty soon.
Well, Dr. Jason Foss, very soon.
Very soon.
And yeah, you want to give the audience an overview of the other schools and cities that you were involved with before you moved out there to Lincoln, Nebraska?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Well, I was born in Marshalltown, Iowa, where I lived the first 18 years of my life. Then headed west about 45 miles to Ames, where I went to Iowa State University. Then headed up north to Minneapolis. I did a master's degree at the University of Minnesota. And that's where I met our good friend Joe Hamlet, and who knew Chris, and that's how I got hooked up with Chris. And lived there for a few more years, and then out in Golden Valley, which is actually where I wrote that first song we heard tonight, Oh What a Day, was out on the back deck of our house there in Golden Valley.
Yeah, I remember. It was a sunny day, and everything was right with the world, and there you were playing Oh What a Day.
Absolutely.
That's cool. And, you know, when I think of your music, I really do see that Minneapolis tie-in, you know, how I know you really enjoy Bob Dylan, who has roots to that area, and Woody Guthrie. Would you like to say a little bit about that, or tell us about how you tied into some of that tradition?
The tradition with Woody and Bob Dylan and those guys?
Yeah.
Well, I started listening to that music probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, and really got attracted to the song as a form and a mode of expression, and also that it doesn't need to be some extravagant gesture, but it can be a very simple thing and express simple truths in a variety of fashions. And I think Bob Dylan is an excellent example of that. And he was hugely influenced by Woody Guthrie, and Woody did the same thing. So there's a lot of people in that tradition that I've listened to, including Steve Earle is somebody still going today who's writing a lot of great stuff, and numerous other folks that I've listened to.
Yeah, I know. I noticed a few of the names, like Tom Snyder, who we both got to see perform live. I know you like him and some of his tunes. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then as a performer, I found myself really drawn to the people who could go out on stage, just one person and a guitar, and really do a great show. So I've never really been drawn into playing with bands because I've just... The people I really respect are doing the one-man band thing, and that's really what I've tried to do.
Yeah, it takes a lot of energy to pull it off, to keep it, you know, because it's not just doing the tunes, it's learning how to relate with everybody in that kind of a way, in that kind of a venue.
That's true, and I find also that people, that you have to actually have better songs to be able to pull it off. Some of the rock and roll songs that you can do with the band, while obviously there's many of them that are truly excellent songs, they can sometimes get away with a little bit less than if one person was playing it, might just bore the audience.
Yeah, or it's probably a different audience that goes to hear, you know, the folk type music, and, you know, of course there's crossover with anything, but generally, maybe they're listening more to the intricacies of the lyrics and getting a whole other kind of experience out of the event.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's one thing I really enjoy about your music, is that it is so... You know, when I say it's rooted in that tradition, you learned a whole bunch of all these people's tunes yourself, like into pretty much how they constructed the tunes, and you learned all the guitar stylings and such things, and that now is just a part of you as you express yourself.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure quite how to respond to that, but yeah, I've you know, I've learned and still play regularly a few Woody Guthrie songs, and probably about 7 or 8 Bob Dylan songs, and John Prine and Tom Paxton and Townes Van Zandt are a few of the others that I know a few songs by all of those people.
Yeah. What would you say calling it the folk tradition is the right way to describe it, or how would you describe that whole part of music, that whole world. I'd like to hear a little more of your thoughts about it.
Well, I think there's two different ways you can take folk music, and the more traditional way is truly folk songs that nobody knows who wrote and have been around for hundreds of years. A lot of those came out of England and Scotland and Ireland and got transplanted to the United States. And then the American folk tradition tends to spring out of that and also out of cowboy songs, which in a lot of cases are adaptations of those British Isles songs or songs from other locations. But then with folks like Woody Guthrie and others, they started writing their own songs, sort of beginning in that style. But now what you might call the American folk tradition, as we're talking about with Woody Guthrie and really the people that have followed after him and in his footsteps, is really more of a singer-songwriter thing, where you might argue that it's not true folk music since it's always associated with one person. But that term definitely comes to be used with that tradition, calling it folk music.
Yeah. Kind of like the modern incarnation, maybe.
Right.
Are there particular areas or regions of the country that this exists more prevalently, or do you know about that at all?
I don't think I couldn't really say about that. I think that no matter where you go, you'll find people that are both fans of this music and participating in writing their own songs and performing those songs.
Yeah, probably, especially these days with the, now we can get information and files anywhere, anytime, any place. It makes it real easy to enjoy whatever it is you meets your imagination and interest at any given time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, and we're starting to come up to the top of the hour, and we're going to play another one of your tunes here, and I'd like to have you I'd like to have you introduce the tune, and there's a little story about the ending, maybe if you'd share with our audience. This is one tune that I had just a bit of a contribution to, you know, the tune we're talking about, Everybody Pays. Would you like to give introduction to that, and we'll lead into the top of the hour?
Absolutely. Yeah, this song came about. This is also one of the ones from the old days in Golden Valley, Minnesota. And I was contemplating fairy tales and, I can't think of what that other term is. Not fairy tales, but something close to them.
Fables?
Nursery rhymes is what I was thinking of. Yeah, or fables. And some of the ideas that they contain. And these are typically stories that we tell the children. And I'm like, I was trying to think of what are we trying to teach with these? Or are we even conscious of them at that level? What ideas are they expressing? So that's where this song came from. And obviously, as you listen to it, you'll hear a different collection of children's stories from different times and places that everyone is familiar with, thrown in with the chorus that sort of adds my own commentary to that. And musically, this is really strongly based in the folk tradition, and very simple chord progressions, and what some people might call an old-timey guitar style, with the way that I'm picking on this one. And actually, the chord progression on the chorus is really about the same chords that Woody Guthrie used for This Land Is Your Land, and lately I've been actually sort of combining the two songs and switching into a little bit of This Land Is Your Land and then back into my song. But yeah, the last line of the song, I was playing this for Chris one day, and got to the end of the song, and he just tacked the last line onto it, and I've kept it ever since then.
Yeah. That was funny. Just worked up a perfect moment that we'll never forget, and how that tune came to be at the end there.
Yep.
And you, listening audience, you'll know exactly what we're talking about when you listen to it. This has always been one of my favorite of his tunes. Here's a song by Jason Foss going into the top of the hour called Everybody Pays.
I went out walking to the top of the hill. Much to my surprise, I ran into Jack and Jill. Jack fell down and broke his crown. So I just kept on walking out onto the wall. Bumped into Humpty, I made him fall, and they couldn't put him together again. So I walked on out of town and into the woods. Who should I find there but Little Red Riding Hood? Guess what? The wolf ate her. And it seems like everywhere I go these days, I see people having trouble trying to find their way. They get lost in the fog or caught up in the haze, and it seems like everybody pays. I walked through the country, what do you think I saw? A little pig hiding in a house of straw. It got huffed and puffed and blown down. So I went on my way, and I walked into the forest. There I saw a hare getting beaten by a tortoise. You shouldn't have slept so long, silly rabbit. I rambled on down the road, I followed where it led. I saw that Goldilocks had been well housed and fed. That is, until the bears got home. Then there was trouble, and it seems like everywhere I go these days, I see people having trouble trying to find their way. They get lost in the fog or caught up in the haze. Don't it seem like everybody pays? Oh, little boy blue, won't you blow your horn? The sheep are in the meadow and the cows are in the corn. What are you doing sleeping under that hay? You should know by now you're gonna have to pay.
On the Creative Cosmos Radio Show with our guest Jason Foss, folk singer, philosopher, and man of the world. Here, come check out his website, www.myspace.com/Jason Foss, F-A-A-S, or you can click on any of his name or the bio or the picture on the front of the creativecosmos.org site tonight, and you can hear some more tunes, drop him a line, tell him you enjoyed his music, and maybe get on his friend list. I don't know. What do you think, Jason?
Oh, absolutely. Love to hear from anyone that's out there listening tonight. The MySpace thing is really kind of cool for networking and just finding other people's music pretty easily. And so as many friends as I can get on there would be a good thing.
Cool, yeah, come check out his music, you know. I feel like I'd just love to have more people listen to it because I know I enjoy it, and it's the kind of music that it isn't just like a catchy tune that you like for a little while and then you get tired of. They're all intricate tunes that, well, you know, they're all tunes that grow with you and have staying power because they're finely crafted. So thank you. I'm glad to have you on the air to thank you for writing those, because like I said in that bit that I wrote, I feel like they're irreplaceable, that you and you alone could write what you're writing.
Oh, I really appreciate that, Chris.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad. I truly mean it.
And I thought I'd mention, too, that with that last song, Everybody Pays, I still typically, most of the time, at least give you credit for that last line.
And the dish ran away with the spoon. So, hey, I know that through the years here, you've read a whole lot of books, and I know that they've had an influence on just some of your general outlook on life. And I was wondering if you could just tell us about some of the books you've enjoyed, and that, I mean, I know that I've seen how you've opened up and become just radiant energy and a shining light in the world, and I'd like to, for my listeners, ask you some of the books that you've enjoyed that have helped you in the process of becoming this good spirit that you are today.
Wow, that's a difficult question. let's see. Now I'm going to have to rack my brain and think of some of the stuff I've read. Well, one of the more recent ones I've read actually is Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, which I had never read before, but got around to a few months ago.
Ah.
And found that actually fascinating book to read.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that from a lot of people. That one hasn't yet come up in my destiny, so to speak, but I'm sure I'll read it sometime, and I've always heard that about it.
Yeah, I think it's well worth it, especially I think it's really nice from the perspective of a teacher, because Robert Persig was a professor before apparently going at least partly insane or getting on the borderline of insanity, and but the construction of the book is absolutely brilliant, and he's really approaching it from the point of a teacher, and drawing the student or the reader through what he wants that student to learn.
Huh.
So that's one of the more recent ones. I've read a lot of literature. I'm actually looking at my bookshelf right now.
I know you years ago that you were into the Hitchhiker's Guide books.
Oh yeah, Douglas Adams is definitely one of my favorite authors, and one of the things I love about Douglas Adams and the Hitchhiker's Guide is that he finds very unique ways to turn a phrase and uses language, common words, in a way that nobody's really thought to use them before, but a way that makes sense to everyone immediately. So that's definitely one of my favorites, but I have, just looking through my top shelf, I have some Thoreau, Hemingway, George Orwell, Ray Bradbury.
Wow, you're really influenced by the American, just authors and musicians, and you're a true man of the soil.
I have Steinbeck up here too. How's that?
Pretty good, man.
Speaking of Americans and that whole thing, so yeah. And I've been, you know that I've read some of the stuff that you talk about quite a bit with Osho and different spiritual teachers along those lines.
That stuff's always good. It kind of provides something that you don't really get anywhere else too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes think, and we'll maybe come back to this, or maybe we'll talk about it now, but it makes me think of Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, kind of, because our daily bread is not just food, but it's a, you know, influx of wisdom, or that which helps us maintain purity and stay on a good track.
Right.
And I know you like to sometimes reference some of these biblical phrases in your tunes. I always enjoy when you do it, because you help to reveal sometimes that there's a deeper meaning or other ways of looking at it than what we're used to hearing.
Yeah. Well, and then, well, actually, when you just said, give us this day our daily bread, the immediate thought to my mind was that you can't live on bread alone, or however it is. Which actually is a line that'll come up in a song a little bit later. But I do actually read out of the Bible quite regularly. I have one in my hand right now, actually, that was just sitting right by my couch. And for me, it's a variety of things. I find some of the literature contained in it is sometimes beautiful, sometimes shocking, and actually sometimes funny. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people overlook, at least in my opinion, is the sense of humor that some of the writers of the Bible had in their expression.
Yeah, you know, that goes a little bit into one of the ideas I was talking about a little bit earlier, is allowing yourself, you know, being kind to yourself and allowing yourself luxuries. One of those luxuries is simply to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to take the time to just to laugh and to not take everything so seriously all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of an odd phenomenon, you know. How do you think that comes, that people think, how does the humor get disconnected from the Bible in people's minds?
Oh, well, I could certainly offer some theories on that. I think basically what it comes down to, and this is, of course, just my opinion, is that people take it all too seriously and perhaps too literally is one way to put it. And I think that comes out of the what seems to be a prevalent Christian notion, or at least God the Father, but then God the Father tends to be very strict in people's minds and often judgmental and often angry. And you see the angry God a lot in the Old Testament. So you think, so if then you're saying, well, this is the Word of God, and you have this figure of God as being strict and often angry, it can be very easy to not see any sense of humor.
Yeah, I mean, as you're describing that, I almost imagine the people being traumatized by that. Like their energy being frozen up because they're afraid of that judgmental God.
Yeah, but I don't think that's necessarily the case in the terms of some of the writers. And if you are reading it and at least try to take maybe a more... try to get rid of any preconceived notions.
Yeah,
about
definitely.
How it's what the meaning is supposed to be, or maybe just not even, you know, if you're into reading the Bible, don't take it so seriously once. Just say, oh, this is something that somebody wrote.
Yeah.
And spend some time just reading it as you would read the newspaper or a novel that was published a year ago.
Yeah, it might totally change the way it reads for somebody. It means something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it means different for me now than it did when I was much younger. Or, you know, I also think about that related to the music of John Lennon. I remember it meant something. I used to think Paul McCartney's tunes and everything were, like, better than John Lennon's. But then after I became more awakened and I realized a little more of the depth of life, what John was saying had a whole different meaning as well. I mean, that can happen with the Bible, and that can happen with many things we've become familiar with if we can then again take a new look at it.
Right, right. And I think whatever medium something is in, all really great art is continually open to new understandings.
Right. Yeah.
For whoever's perceiving it, based on their experience, they'll see something new in it every time. Whereas perhaps things that are more shallow might only have one meaning or only two meanings, and after a period of time, you'll find that you're beyond that.
Yeah, almost the better the work of art, the more meaning you can apply to it, really.
Right.
In that sense. And so, so we're almost starting to come into the territory of Zen, and I know that you're aware of Zen, and I am, and I was thinking about this recently, how in the art community, art and music community, Zen's really becoming something that is integrated with our tradition, you know, the Western culture and the Eastern wisdom. And I was wondering what your thoughts are on how some of the Eastern way is trickling into the Western culture and how that is influencing us today.
Oh, that's... I might have to think about that one a little bit. I'm not sure what happened more than, say, 50 years ago, or maybe 55 years ago, with some of that stuff. But I think there is a number of pretty prominent figures, ranging from someone such as John Cage in the so-called classical world, to folks like John Coltrane in jazz, who really started exploring getting outside of the Western tradition and seeing what else is out there. And also Jack Kerouac. I have a number of his books on my shelf and have read quite a bit of his stuff. Was really important in reaching enough people and opening up an awareness of other traditions and other religions or other ways of approaching spirituality.
Yeah, good points. Good mentions, too. All those people did help root that or bring that out in the open, you know, and that's even what you and I are doing today, talking about art and reflecting on life and sharing our experience, and the work continues to this day.
and all those folks too, I think, were in one respect or another, were groundbreaking artists and really doing new things that nobody else had done, or at least doing things in a different way, which is probably saying the same thing in a different way, but and I think just stepping out of the tradition a little bit, or looking for something new elsewhere, and then finding a way to integrate a different philosophy or a different viewpoint into your art is really what allowed them to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know it's a great way to describe it, man. I mean, because that just goes really wrong with how I see it, is if you're going to take your craft or your art as far as it can go, really truly develop the full breadth of human expression, you're eventually going to start going into these territories, because we have to be free of our ego or free of the limited context to tap into the higher energies which make these magnificent manifestations possible.
Right, I think so.
Yeah. I think all of art, it's a part of the direction it's headed these days. And also, I think it's just coming up more in society all over the place. Would you agree that society in general is, maybe through the work of some of the artists and musicians and, you know, various psychics and radio hosts, becoming more aware of the more abstract phenomenon that exists in our universe today?
Well, you know, I'd that's another question I have a tough time answering. You know, most of the people I spend time with, I think, are really towards the edge of, you know, normal society. A lot of musicians and artists of other sorts. So, and I think that's definitely true. But I think also we see, just in general, a lot of the traditional religions tend to be having less and less people who, you know, go to church every single Sunday, for instance. And people are, I think, yeah, becoming more willing to look at other things or be accepting of ideas. And perhaps a different way to approach it is to take an issue such as gay marriage, which, you know, I know 10 years ago, to have things going on in Massachusetts and wherever else they either have made it legal or are working to, I think even 10 years ago, for most people, it would have been unthinkable that that would actually come to pass. Whether it, you know, whether it's right or not isn't the question. But I think there's a whole lot more people being accepting of different things.
Yeah. It's a big part of the information age. We're so many different things we have to not resist, but just open up to all the world of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, this is a good time to try another of your tunes out here. We've had a nice chance to talk a little bit, and I believe the next tune is Desolation. Would you like to say a couple words for it and lead in?
Yeah, actually, I could talk forever about this one. For those listeners who are familiar with the Bible, or at least I think actually most of the references are to pretty well-known phrases, this is definitely based in biblical terms, and it's really dealing with the concept of the wilderness, which is expressed numerous ways in the Bible, most specifically with Moses leading the Israelites from Egypt and spending the 40 years in the wilderness, but also Christ spending the time in the desert where he was tempted. But I think there's probably parallels in most religions, and I think of it, I look at it as, and this is sort of where this road unknown concept comes in, is being in a place, and it's really seeking the promised land, if we can put it in those terms, but being in the wilderness of not knowing where you are, knowing that there has to be some goal or some place where you can finally rest, but feeling, you know, like where you're at the moment is lost and forlorn, forsaken, etc. And the song's only, I think it's about 2 months old now, and for some reason, I had a couple weeks that were just really pretty dark personally. Nothing really specific, just you know, a little bit of depression creeping in. And this song definitely came out of that feeling. And it's not where I'm at right now, but it was where I was then. And I was really able to relate to that concept of the wilderness. And I thought that actually the Bible terms just kind of jumped out right into the song.
All right. Great lead in. Here we
is
go.
That enough?
What's that?
Is that enough of a lead in?
Yeah, that's a lead in. We can talk more about it after if you'd like. Yeah. Here we go. Desolation by Jason Foss.
Baby, that I've been hung up lately on three little words I no longer remember how to say. But maybe I would if I only thought I could say them in the right way. And I know they should not be a supplication, not a plea for your affection or your respect. reciprocation, not a noose to draw you tight or to strangle me in the night, and not a means for suffocation. I can't confide that I think it's what I know inside. At least that's the way things are seeming, and I know they should not be weighed down with expectation, not a justification or a phony revelation, not a statement of shame and need, and certainly not of lonely greed, but rather a pure knowledge of elevation. And I want to know what it means to say I love you, innocent and pure and simple like a child. Yes, I want to be the man who can say the words I love you, without a doubt, without the fear that it's just something I think you need to hear. Bound to be misused and confused, and with falseness thoroughly infused. Well, I can't help what others may say, but I know there is another way for me to speak them clear and through. Three little words, no more abused, and I will know the words I say won't be bound up with emotion. They won't be a sick invention or a twisted fabrication. I don't need to convince you how I feel or make you believe something that ain't real, but I might want to share with you my inclination. And I want to know what it means to say I love you, innocent, pure, and simple like a child. Yes, I want to be the man who can say the words I love you, without a doubt, without the fear that it's just because it's something I think you need to hear.
We're back, Creative Cosmos, Chris Morris interviewing Jason Foss. Hope you're enjoying the show. Hope you enjoyed the tune. And I know I kind of jumped in there. Were there any other closing thoughts you had about Desolation, or are you ready to keep on rolling?
I think we can keep on rolling. I think I said enough, and hopefully the song said the rest of it.
Cool. All right, and I wanted to ask you a little bit to see if you could describe your songwriting process and how some of these things and various experiences you have find their way into your tunes.
Well, typically, a lot of times I start with just a little idea, and a lot of times sometimes I'll start with something I know I want a song to be kind of about X, you know, a little fragment, and I'll just let that roll around in my mind for a while. Or in the case of Desolation, it actually started with, I'd been kind of thinking about that idea, but then I was sitting around playing guitar and came up with that opening riff.
Yeah.
And found a couple words to put with it, and from there it just took off on its own. So either I'll get a melodic idea and find a couple words to go with it, or have a couple of a sort of a lyric idea and find a little bit of music to go with it. And then they really both get written together almost all of the time. Hmm. And I know some songwriters will write all their lyrics and put music to it, which I believe is how Dylan operates most of the time. And other people will come up with the musical part and then put words to it, but for me it's really almost always writing them both together.
Oh, interesting. That's cool, man. I really think that was a good way to describe it. And you can tell, too, like I said on that picture of you, that you truly enjoy expressing yourself in that way, that you have an expression of happiness that comes from doing what is in your heart.
Yeah, well, that's the most fun I have, really, is playing music. Really love doing it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We both kind of had the experience where we started out in music in one way. We probably had similar experiences learning brass instruments, studying classical and jazz, and now we're a couple of older songwriters all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, at some point, a lot of people at least go towards writing in some fashion, or you really need that creative aspect to whatever your art is. And at least in the classical world, if you're, in your case, a trumpet player or a trombone player, in my case, it's mostly craftsmanship and being able to play the notes that are on the page in exactly the way the composer or the conductor thinks that you need to play them.
Yeah.
To create, you know, and it's, to a certain extent, you can make it your own. You're part of the process and part of really wonderful music. But there's something special, too, to know that what you're playing is what you wrote and really a more personal and unique expression.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, that is also the same thing I came across. I was playing orchestral stuff all the time, and I was feeling that's what I was missing, the creative part, you know, and that's too how I began just searching for what I naturally was inclined to create and went with it. And I think that's one really key point, and I think it's definitely something you've caught on to, is that you've got to recognize that writing the song is a kind of process, and that you've got to follow it through. You've got to allow it to go where it will, and, you know, and write it all out, however you do, or follow it all to the end and keep allowing it to fully become manifest. You know, go with it when it comes, in other words.
Right. And there's also the idea that different songwriters have expressed that the song already exists and that the work of the songwriter is to uncover it, you might say, or just to find it. Which is I forget what sculptor put it that way.
Yeah, Michelangelo, I was just thinking that.
The statue is already in there. You have to remove everything that's not the statue.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think your tunes exhibit that quality that you have really refined them to a level that they then shine with the brilliance of content and many layers of meaning. And I think that someone listening to them would interpret it, and you know, there's so much room for it to mean something different to everybody. You know, you create a bond with the listener, tell a great story, you have some neat turns of the phrase yourself, and yeah, I love listening to a tune and then hearing it go somewhere and just being, wow, did he really say that? <You know?
laughs> Well, I do appreciate that, and yeah, I like to think that I have such... And some of the writers that I really appreciate listening to do that, where and the music is of a nature that if you're not really listening to it, you're going to miss something. So.
Yeah, and then you can listen to it again and again, and you can become more familiar with some of those idiosyncrasies as well.
Right, but I guess the music that actually demands something of the listener, as opposed to, you know, a great deal of the pop music where you just, you know, have it on the radio as background music and, or elevator music as it often becomes.
Yeah.
And I hope that's not the case with mine, but if I can actually demand something of the listener to pay attention and to maybe just spark a thought process or to maybe expose the truth or something along those lines, then it would, you know, really
I feel
like I'd really done something.
Yeah, that's why I feel it's really important to highlight someone such as yourself creating music in the present, like real music that has thought and feeling and life experience and so many different sources that you draw from. Because, you know, I am afraid too many people believe that popish elevator music that you referred to earlier is music, or is, you know, that's their main idea of music. And if that is the case, they're being truly deprived culturally and are missing out on a whole aspect of the human condition.
Right.
And that's why some of that music is so dangerous in a way. It can cut off areas or turn people off in ways. And, you know, true music is a part of who we are as human beings.
Absolutely. I don't have much to add to that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And then, so as an artist and musician in society today, you know, as a part of the community, you know, I guess in this case, kind of looking into how an artist would relate, sometimes the tunes might take a political overtone or maybe a little criticism of what's going on in society, or somehow portraying, politically. I mean, I guess I'm basically going into the realm of politics. How does an artist deal with that in their work, and what is a way to convey what you have to say that works? Or do you have any thoughts about any of that?
Well, actually, as far as politics in music, and I haven't really written, I don't think, anything that's directly political, or at least not specifically current on politics, but there's a huge wealth of stuff in the American folk tradition, from protest music, some of the early Bob Dylan songs, which he tended to avoid the specific references to specific people, but other songwriters such as Phil Oakes wrote some very direct lyrics. Today, there's, I think Steve Earle is about the only person that's really laying it on the line. And, and Ani DiFranco also does some very political stuff and very critical music. And on the one hand, it almost seems dangerous, but on the other hand, if there's nobody saying these things, especially people that are really, you know, have big enough voices to be heard by a lot of people. But then, I mean, I'd be totally remiss if I neglected Neil Young at this point.
Yeah.
And actually, I believe just today on his website, he started streaming music from his new album, which is coming out, which is from everything I've heard, very political, including a new song, Let's Impeach the President. So it's out there. A lot of people tend to avoid it, I think, and I've felt lately, actually, last week I started working on a couple songs that are directly political.
Oh.
And they're unfinished at this point, but it's definitely, I think, the state of the nation and the world and it seems more at this moment more important. And I guess it's always important, but now it's almost crucial that people speak out about what they believe and about what they see as being wrong in the world and in the approach that leaders are taking to the situation. And there's, I think the world situation is coming to a head, or at least appears that it might be, with with the Iraq war going the way it is and Iran and the talk of tactical nuclear weapons is just scary.
Yeah.
When it's always been a background threat throughout all of our lives. It's been back there somewhere, but we've never really had to think about it. But then this might happen soon. So I've been thinking more and more about that, and I really should be speaking my voice, my opinions on these things, and whether people who hear them agree with me or not, just getting it out there, and the more anybody who's thinking the same way but that might not have the strength to say it or is too timid to speak out, the more we can create an environment where people realize, hey, it's okay to be critical of the government or critical of anything. And that is the American ideal. And freedom of speech still exists. And really the cultural climate and the constitutional rights and all that stuff, people, there's all this with the Patriot Act and all of that, how people are very concerned about our rights, but it seems to me that we're still in, as of the present, we're still in really good shape as far as what rights we have. But there's certainly the danger out there that it could get a whole lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah, good points, all of it. Got to speak out, say what you feel, say what you mean. And I agree that it's part of the artist role is to, to help create that climate of where people do feel like they can do that. So, I thought that was an excellent summary and idea. Yeah, were you going to say something there?
No.
Okay, cool. All right, and we're going to kick into another tune here, and it's the tune Three Little Words, and maybe, how about when we get back, I'll have you speak a little bit about how, just about that tune and how relationship comes into play in your work.
Okay, great.
All right, here we go, Three Little Words, song by Jason Foss. Thank you. back again. Chris Moores and Jason Foss having a nice conversation here on the Creative Cosmos. And, of course, bbsradio.com. Glad you joined us. I'm glad you're with us this evening. It's always a pleasure to be on air. And the tune you just heard was called Three Little Words, and it was by Jason Foss. And, yeah, you have any thoughts about that tune, Jason?
Yeah, that's another one that I could probably go on for a while talking about. But with a lot of my songs, and I think probably a fairly high percentage compared to a lot of songwriters I know, that I tend to deal with really personal things, at least in the sense of trying to get onto paper or into music exactly where I'm at right now, either with an issue or in a more general state. And that song came about actually in a relationship I was in, and it's really it started with wanting to be in love but not quite being there. But also I just started thinking in terms of how often people say I love you, and really what does that mean? And how many ways can that phrase be misused?
Yeah.
That's really the roots of that, and wanting to find a more authentic understanding of love, especially in personal relationships.
Yeah, it's definitely true. It's a word a lot of people say, but it's a very deep phenomenon and many aspects to it. So, yeah. Hey, you know, while I got you on the line here, in our remaining time, I had a couple off-the-wall questions I just thought I'd throw out there, one after the other. You can take a pass if you'd like, or give me a little response. I always enjoy hearing what people think about these different things, and kind of throws it out of the box, as we were talking about earlier. And, you know, I enjoy metaphysical type materials, and I know you've been aware of quite a bit of it, seen it on my site, read about it, so I feel like I can throw these out. So the first thing I'd say is, well, what do you think about extraterrestrial life? Are they here? Is there something to it? Or is it different than what we think of sometimes?
Well, there's just so much to that question in different angles, but I think there's, I don't know, I would have to think there's life out there in the universe somewhere, whether it's visited our planet, you know, UFOs, that type of thing. I really have no idea. You know, I've never knowingly seen an extraterrestrial, but actually, you know, you reminded me, you were asking about books I've read. I just actually read Contact a couple weeks ago, and the Carl Sagan book.
Right.
A number of people have seen the movie, I'm sure. But I have to say, I found the book just absolutely wonderful. And he really brings together the ideas of science, religion, and how fate is heavily involved in both of them, and really he doesn't present his points. I mean, he doesn't say I believe this, but it, you know, draws you through the story and the different characters to contemplating how these things relate to each other. And that's, you know, those of you familiar with that book or the movie, it's very much the lead character is a scientist trying to discover or trying to search for life out there in the universe.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say I believe or don't believe in extraterrestrial life. I'd have to say I think that it's likely.
All right. That's good. And have you ever seen a ghost? Or what do you think about ghosts?
Well, I thought I saw a ghost of a cat one time when I was about 4 years old.
Ah.
But, you know, that's... it's hard to remember for sure, you know. Did I just see a shadow move or something like that? I don't see any reason to not believe in ghosts, really. But there's certainly a lot of, you know, okay, if we're willing to accept that there's more to life than just this physical existence, well then, you know, and then the spirit or whatever word we use for it exists beyond the death of the body, then I think it's certainly possible. And especially, I guess some of the reading I've done with out-of-body experiences. I can't remember that one author's name that our dear friend Joe Hazlett was really...
Oh, Robert Monroe?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah.
You know, and his work on that and his experiences as he writes about them are, I think, very convincing.
Yeah, I love those books.
If there's a way for you to get out of the body, well, you know, who knows, maybe if people are doing that regularly, they're being perceived as ghosts too. But
yeah.
I don't, you know, I've talked to so many people that really are very straightforward, rational people who absolutely believe that they have ghosts at their house or have seen things that they can't explain any other way. Then I say, well, I don't think I have the direct evidence myself to say there are certainly ghosts, but I'm not going to deny the possibility.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I was also wondering, do you keep track of your dreams or write your dreams down or follow what's happening in your dream world?
I don't, actually. And I've thought numerous times that I should, you know, start keeping a dream journal.
Huh.
And I never have. So typically, once I'm out of bed, I don't even remember what I dreamed about the previous night, except every once in a while something will happen during the day that triggers that memory.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I had a dream about some weird thing. But there's always... Every once in a while, I get one that's weird enough that it remains in my mind for a long time. But it's that's probably something that would be valuable to do. And for a while, I was doing, and this another thing that's probably valuable to do that maybe I should get back to. For a while, I was doing a meditation as I went to bed, just sort of asking for guidance in dreams.
Yeah.
You know, so, or opening myself up to whatever knowledge can be gained through dreams. I definitely think whether it's purely internal or something external, such as God or the Holy Spirit working through your dreams, even if it's not that, if it's just the subconscious bringing out ideas that you need to think about and presenting them at a time where you might actually be open, more open to hearing those ideas. I think that there's probably a lot to be learned in the dream world.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And just like you say, you know, it. However you look at it, it's you're getting important messages that are worth taking note of. And one last of these metaphysical questions. I know that you've become really tuned in and open up, and I was wondering if you've had any feelings about your own past lives or any inclinations to any eras of history or times where you feel like you might have existed before.
Well, that's something I haven't really thought about much lately. There was a time several years ago when I was, during a meditation, tried to look back, and not much very specific, but I sort of was able to see myself in a few different situations and or in different bodies, different times. And one was African, possibly Kenyan.
Huh?
Another one was Asian. And I think another one was, you know, Northern European. But it was interesting because I saw these three different faces, but the eyes were, the way the eyes were looking upon the world was identical.
Wow.
And I felt that they were all different manifestations. Or, you know, whether it was actually seeing past lives or different, possibly different facets of my, of this existence being presented.
Wow, fascinating. Well, that was really cool. Yeah, I like that answer. So I suppose we could go on all night here, but I'd like to, we're going to have to start wrapping her up a little bit, but before I let you go, I hear that you're in the studio right now doing some sessions for an album right now.
That's correct. Not at this exact moment, of course. over the past month and a half or so, I've been going out to my friend Rich's studio in Eagle, Nebraska, and putting down some songs. He's got a fantastic studio and good equipment. So, and we're almost getting it wrapped up. We're going to have to take a listen to how everything sounds. And I know we have at least one more tune to record, and then we might have to go back and redo a couple of things. But I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get it out with maybe in a month or so.
Yeah, and where will people be able to find that when once it does come out?
All I can promise for now is that you can get in touch with me through the MySpace site, or else I'm also working on a real website, which will be jasonfoss.com. Actually, my brother, Mike Foss, is going to be designing that. I haven't had the time to really learn web design yet, and I'm sure it'll be available on there.
Okay. So we have your MySpace, which is myspace.com/JasonFoss, and your name spelled F-A-A-S for everyone who's listening, and then eventually we'll have jasonfoss.com.
And we should, hopefully we'll have both of those links on Creative Cosmos.
Yep, so I will keep your link on my board ever after. I want people to get a chance to experience your music and hear just the wonderful creative work you've been doing. And thank you again for coming on the show and sharing this time with the BBS radio audience.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's really been a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, and good night to all the listeners. And we're going to close tonight with a beautiful instrumental by Jason, one of my favorites, and it's called Dana.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.